This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
My name is Andreo Fanatic Hurd.
Where did the middle name come in?
Just my obsession with music and anything else. I'm a Libra, so it's like anything that we become very passionate about, it turns into an obsession. And I found music was that for me. As a hip-hop producer, I became very enthusiastic and a fanatic about collecting music, collecting vinyl, collecting classic rock and R&B, to the point where I could pick up an album cover and I know if I had bought that album before. So I had like 20,000 records at one time of just all genres of music. The thing about vinyl is there's a story with it. So when you open up that Ohio Players record album, you're like looking at the photograph of the artwork, you're looking at the liner notes, you're seeing different things about the album, which that experience is no longer exists, but it was something that shaped my life just growing up reading the credits, especially like a James Brown album, and you're looking at this all-star team of artists and musicians that played on those records. It was a part of that whole experience, man, and I kind of miss that.
I met you last night at a release party, right?
Yes.
In right downtown Greensboro, yes. Album drop.
Yes.
It's not just an album. There's a whole other dimension to what you're doing.
Yes.
The story behind us. Tell us about that.
The United Way came to me and asked me about doing a benefit concert. We had just done a concert for the tornado relief victims. We have an organization called the Culture Pushers. What we do is we cater to the underserved artists here. So we had done a tornado relief concert where we curated it with all genres of music, all age groups and everything. And when we first came out here, we saw where everybody was segregated. So hip-hop was over there, singer-songwriter was over there, rock was over there. And I was like, when you go to Coachella, you see everything. You get turned on to things that you didn't even necessarily come there to hear.
Oh, when I think about when I was a kid, all of my mistakes.
And so my thing is, when we came back, we started curating the concerts with a diverse group of musicians. So they saw that, and they asked us to do a concert with them. But we were like, no, this is to end poverty. And so I was like, this is the moment I've been waiting for my whole career. This is that We Are the World moment where you get to work with as many musicians as you want to. And it's like having a box of crayons and being able to just color whatever you wanted. So I said, let's do an album. Because the thing about an event, once it's over, people kind of move on. Mm-hmm. But the music, if you do an album, it lasts forever. It continues to give. So we gave 100% of the proceeds to the United Way. They're going to receive that from the album. And from there, I just started diving in, finding all these amazing artists from the area.
You tried to thematically find people in the region,
yes.
Greater Greensboro,
yes.
Area.
The whole triad from Raleigh, Durham, okay. Charlotte. It started in Greensboro, but then we started finding all these other artists. And it was supposed to be a 12-song album. But as I kept finding these amazing artists, I was like, oh, I got to put them on the album. And it ended up with 51 songs.
Whoa.
So
is this a multi-album?
Yes, it is. If it would be vinyl, it would be a four, double, yeah. Triple album or yeah. Whatever. But our whole thing was that I wanted the industry to hear what was going on here and realize, like, a lot of these artists are well accomplished. They can compete on the level with whatever's going on in popular music right now. And I wanted people to know that about this region, that, like, the musicians are here, the songwriters are here, and the artists are here that can compete on a very high level in popular music.
Give us a breadth of the different genres of music and musicians.
Okay, well, we touched on everything from gospel to country to rock to hip-hop. A lot of the urban artists on the album are existing in the pop space. Mm-hmm. Musically, which is so rare today, just seeing that. And I heard these records, and as we were curating it and we were finding the records for the album, I was like, we got to showcase that side of you and let people see that, you know, how well versed we are in music out here.
Across the room.
We had the Hamilton's on it. I got to work with John P. Key, Reverend Brian Pierce, Vanessa Ferguson, just so many amazing artists that have gone out in the world and done their thing, but still represent Greensboro. So I put them on the album as well.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. This is a little naive, but could there be or is there a Greensboro sound?
There is. Oh, there is. There is something. Because the thing about it is, you know, you see these people on The Voice and American Idol every year competing at a very high level, and they're all from here. So when I was in California living last year, I was like, there's something going on out there because these people keep ending up in the final rounds of these competition shows. So when I came out here, I realized that. And I think it's more of a Southern thing where you come from the church. A lot of these musicians and a lot of these artists started off in the church and spent
the whole time. I can't tell you the number that I interview. Oh, yeah, well, I was in the choir as a kid. You know, it's almost like mandatory.
It is. Yeah. Well, you know, they cut the music program, so the only place you can get that is in the church. And when you've been doing it since you were a child in there, you pick up on so much. So by the time you're ready as an artist, you can pull from all of that.
Yeah. And then I don't know if it was in your family, but time and again, it was mom in the kitchen singing.
Of course. Yeah. Your grandmother, all of that. Just definitely singing those hymns and you being to the point that you sing it every week in church. Mm-hmm. So you know them. And you're also, they're older singers in the church, so you're learning from them and the choir director and all these different things. So I think it has something to do with it. A lot of the musicians grow up and playing in the church. So if I'm going to sit in church all day, I'm definitely going to get in the band or the choir. So I think that's where it really comes from.
That's really interesting. Talk to us a little bit, again, the breadth of the modalities. You talked about hip-hop, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's hip-hop on the album. This is the first time I produced hip-hop in quite a long time, but there were so many really dope artists out here that we really wanted to work with, so I started collaborating. Because originally, all the artists were just donating songs from their catalog. So we would pick songs from their catalog that kind of fit the theme of the album. But then we just started recording because we were finding so many great artists. We was like, let's put these two people together and let's make this record and whatnot. So we started producing a lot of hip-hop records for it and a lot of R&B for the album as well.
You have a studio?
We started off at GTCC, the community college here, has a music program with Thomas Johnson. So Thomas Johnson worked with Perry Farrell and a bunch of rock acts out in L.A., and now he's here teaching recording at the community college, Greensboro Technical Community College.
So when you put together this album, that's where you did it
physically? Yeah, we started there. Uh-huh. We started in his studio, and it was supposed to be a weekend project, and then it just morphed into something else. But he teaches it. I know he's a fan of the music. He understands what the message was behind the project, and he's one of the executive producers on it. So we started there, and then we started recording at various studios around Greensboro, which we don't have a quintessential studio here. And that is like my goal in the end is to create that one space out here where you're coming for the musicians, the session musicians that you have access to here, as well as the sound. And with Greensboro having such a rich musical history, I think it's important that we have a quintessential studio here for those that are used to that, know what that experience means. And
is that in process right now?
Yes, that is in the process. We are doing that. We're working with Andy Zimmerman on creating a music maker space down here that we can
so
do
he's,
that.
He's dedicated to the physical space already.
Yes.
Now you just have to get some equipment. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Vintage equipment. Yeah. But we have some elder statesmen out here that understand the importance of analog acoustics and building the right studio that has a specific sound that you come here for, working out of that studio in the same way that Muscle Shoals or Apple Studios or any of those were, you know?
All said and done, the album that just released, how does it physically exist? Because it's not, like you said, it's not vinyl
right.
yet.
Right now, it's just digital download. We didn't really want to get into the place of streaming just yet. We just wanted to make sure that not only are you buying this album and contributing to ending poverty, because people think that you have to make a huge donation to have an impact on it. But we were like, collectively, let's make it affordable so that you're spending $3.99 and you don't even think twice about it.
$3.99
for 51 songs. And
that's a no-brainer.
Yes, it's an afterthought. You're contributing.
I don't want to do the math dividing it up. It's like 5 cents.
Yes, because we wanted it to be an afterthought that I would spend that. And then you get 51 songs that... and. One thing that...
And like you said, all the net profit 100% go
to... And the payoff is one thing that you're putting a huge dent in local poverty, but at the same time, I think this album, if we hit our numbers, will create industry here and the labels will come sniffing around at 51 unsigned artists and feel like industry can be created here. And when you think about it, all the colleges are here. So they're coming in every year from all, you know, places around the United States and the world to go to school here. So you're going to find those musicians. So you're getting them. And not only that, from the musician side, you're getting them as consumers. So they're taking that music back to where they're from and exposing the music in the area as well.
So right now, North Carolina Music Festival is going on.
Yes.
Right down the street.
Yes.
So today, this weekend, yesterday, mm-hmm. tomorrow, what percentage of the musicians on your album have been or will be performing here?
Well, very small percentage of it, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, let me interrupt because that's what I assumed.
Right.
And now I'm doing the math. I'm going, oh, my God, it looks like a new concert concept right. coming up.
Well, definitely that's been in our space. We're thinking about Culture Pushers Festival yeah. where we're yeah. featuring all those artists yeah. and that diverse lineup that encompasses the elite artists in the area. But we are talking with Laura Way and the Folk Fest about incorporating that aspect in it because it's like, these musicians support the music and entertainment scene year-round when the Folk Fest is not here. So right. you got to support them and let them have their moment. You're bringing 20,000 people, 30,000 people into the city. Those artists deserve to get that same exposure.
Yeah, but I'm still visualizing another 20,000 late another well, time of the year.
100%.
Maybe a time when the community needs it.
Yes, I definitely think that there's a need for that, and there's not a real festival here for that. And with the college kids, there's like 12 different colleges that are in driving distance that would come out and support that. So our whole thing is to try to reimagine the entertainment scene here, get them open to collaboration and things like that.
Insecure. We both in the dark.
A little more detail on, just randomly pick some of your artists that are on the album and what their sound is,
okay,
and
so,
the backstory.
So Jordan Hawkins is the guy that stands out first to me, and Jordan Hawkins is like a blues bass, R&B soul guitar player, almost Hendrick-esque, which is, I don't speak on that lightly, but you know, he's channeling that, and he has an amazing vocal that comes with that. Jordan Hawkins is one that stands out right off top. I think the next one would probably be Shelby J, who used to sing with Prince.
She was playing, like you pointed yes. her out.
Yes.
yes.
She played last night. She was with Prince for 14 years. You can't spend that much time with Prince and not soak in some of his genius. So she's one of them, as well as some of the pop acts on the album, like Companion, Citizen Shade are good. Debbie the Artist has a following around there. She's eclectic, almost like a... I can't even describe it. She's just like in left field, almost like an Erykah Badu, but a little bit more. She plays and she's a little bit more different. But also, Autumn Nicholas is another one. It's almost like a Tracy Chapman type vibe. And so there's a really eclectic mix on the album, and it flows so smoothly as you go from genre to genre and hear those songs. I think the Die for Love record that I did with Andre Phoenix is somebody I want to mention as well. He has like a Stevie Wonder type vibe, and he's singing on top of like folk music. It's almost like that place that Stevie never really went to but could,
yeah.
you know, and so it was like he brings a fresh vibe to the album that people haven't heard.
His voice is thematic thread throughout.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, and he helped me write the theme song Die for Love. That is like the big We Are the World type record with everybody singing on it. We had a high school choir perform that song with us last night. So we're envisioning the success of the album and performing that song at the Grammys on a big stage with a big mass choir.
And that's where I was going yeah. next. You
yeah.
and I were talking last night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Grammy time.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
conservatively and
yes.
humbly think this could happen.
I believe that we can make the impact with this album that would garner that, as well as, you know, create that story and basically create the blueprint for other cities that understand that you can use music to address social issues that exist in your community. And hopefully people will, this will be an example to them, and they'll realize that, because we really haven't had that. But, you know, John Lennon, Bob Marley, Prince, Jimi Hendrix, all these different people used music through turbulent times in our country to really get a message out of hope. And we're in very crazy times right now, and I think artists need to be more responsible with the power of music, and hopefully this album is an example of that.
Could become like a model.
Yes,
or something. Yeah,
definitely.
I love it.
Our whole thing with our organization was to come back here and just really curate the scene here, be instrumental in bringing a fresh, progressive perspective to the music scene and how to make it work in a small community like this. So that was our goals here. We've worked in the music business for like 20-some years, worked with the most elite artists from Michael Jackson to Beyonce to Notorious B.I.G. Boyz II Men. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, Boyz II Men. Anthony Hamilton. We've worked with so many artists.
When you say work with, on what level?
Producing records on those artists, you learn so much from those artists because they are at the top of their game. So just soaking in all that information and now being able to feed it back to the music community here. Because a lot of these artists, they have talent, but there's not a whole lot of artist development, which I came up working under Puffy, P. Diddy, as well as Vincent Herbert, and understanding how important artist development is. And it's not necessarily about the song. It's more about getting the your fans to buy into you so that they take the journey with you. Because the hit record at some point goes away, and then it's all about you. Like, are we still interested? Because Paul McCartney fans, diehard fans, still care about Paul McCartney to this day.
Yeah.
So it's about building real fan bases, especially when you're in a place now where it's more about touring. So it's about giving them that intimate experience that they will come to see every time. So just teaching artists that and understanding that, helping them with their marketing. They market like their music for like 2 weeks, and then they move on to something else. And I'm like, you spent 6 months to make the record, and then you spend 2 weeks to market it. It's like, yo, you got to live with that record. When you hear these records on the radio 8 months later, and you're like, yo, why are they still playing that record? It's because that record is constantly moving up the charts, and you have to live with it, and you have to keep it.
Somebody's working it the whole time.
Definitely. And, you know, their artists are tired of the record, but you still have to play it because there are certain people that haven't heard it in certain regions. So you got to really lock in and market it all the way through, versus just, you know, giving it a few weeks and then you move on to something else.
And, you know, I just heard that identical tale from a professor of literature and publishing in Chicago. She said word for word with a book.
Yeah.
It just started when you've written the book.
Yes, definitely. Well, that's the thing that we tell them, even with getting a record deal. You can get the record deal. That's really not the hard part. Is getting everybody at the label to believe in the record and get behind it and put to the side what they've been doing to focus on your record and champion your record to go and shoot through the moon. So it's really hard to get that. So people got to really understand, like, you got to get a whole group of people to champion your cause in order for you to have success in the music business.
And is that one of your areas of expertise?
Well, I come from an era where it was all built on teams, where the radio guy was essential to the process, and he took pride in just being that. I'm the best radio promoter in the country. You know, the A&R was the best record man in the country, you know, and everybody played their role. And, like, though the business is constantly changing, those elements, they still really exist in a very important and in the team effort. Like, you can go from Motown to Stax to Bad Boy to Murder, Inc. All these different record labels were successful because they had a team of people that took pride in their individual jobs, and it was like an all-star team, you know.
Dude, you've got me. You seduced me. I'm coming back for more.
We'll
do a part two?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Next time when you come back, hopefully we will have this label out here.
Well, like I said, next time I come back, I'm going to be in your studio.
Yes, we will have a studio. Our dream is to have it like Motown was set up, where you have the studio, the record label, all in the same place, and a venue to perform. So,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so it's just really just getting Greensboro acclimated to understanding it can happen, because for me, I look at it like I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. I grew up looking at the album cover, and like 20 years later, I'm standing 2 feet in front of Michael Jackson having a conversation. So I believe anything can happen.
Yeah, and you had no clue that was going to happen.
You're right. So I believe anything can happen. Yeah. So it's just a matter of getting them the small town mentality, getting them to understand, dream big. Mm-hmm. It can happen to anybody.
If somebody wants to learn more about your world, where do they go?
Go to culturepushers.org. to find out about our organization and everything that we're doing in the community with music and music artists here. And you can follow me at Experience Fanatic on IG, so our Instagram.
And to download the new album?
Download the new album. Go to iTunes, not Apple Music. Uh-huh. Don't get caught up in the streaming thing. Go to iTunes and download it. And you can also find it on Amazon as well.
And the name of the album search for?
Yeah, search for Artists United to End Poverty. And purchase the album, support it, do a great thing for the community. Poverty, directly and indirectly, affects all of us. So it's important that we all do our part to help each other get through it. And my name is Andreo Fanatic Hurd, and it was great to be on this show, man, and sharing this information with you, man.
My pleasure, my honor. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to come back and hunt you down.
Oh, definitely. We're here.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
Tonight, maybe the morning light will bring you round to ease my pain. When I cry, you'll hear the sound of your name falling like rain. The sound of your name falling like rain. Save it all for the roses you bring. A tear will fall down my face. What can I do? I'm falling again, all the way down to the sound of your name, all the way down to the sound of your name. To the sound of your name.
Poverty is not a mental illness. Poverty is not only for the poor and the uneducated, but is a condition that affects the entire human race. When a man or woman has all of the riches that any one person could desire, when that same person has no heart, no soul, or no love for their fellow man, then they too live in poverty. Humanity is begging for each and every one of us to do our part to save ourselves from ourselves. In 1964, when Dr. Martin Luther King gave his Nobel lecture, he said that all of the rich nations must use our vast resources of wealth to develop the undeveloped, school the unschooled, and feed the unfed. Ultimately, a great nation is a compassionate nation. We have to ask each other, why are we still dealing with this horrible epidemic over 50 years later? If you want to live a full life, a whole life, then you must leave a legacy of helping those who need help. Then maybe we won't be having this same human plague 50 years from now.